Good morning, everybody. This past Shabbos, we once again began the cycle of Pirkei Avos. And the opening words of the first Mishnah are Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai U'Mesara LiYehoshua, emphasizing to us the very clear line of Mesora and transmission of the Torah. The Torah is something that has been passed from one generation to the next, and it has been taught from father to son and from Rebbe to Talmud. One of the Rambam's fundamental Ikari HaEmunah is the notion that Zos HaTorah Lo Tehe Mochlefes. The Torah is a constant, it is enduring and everlasting, and it can never change. With modern technology and our highly advanced world, sometimes the applications of certain halachos might be different, but the strict laws of the Torah themselves are perpetual and are immutable. In our Parsha, Parshas Maaseh, we read about the 42 different stops of the Jewish people throughout their journey in the desert. Aside from the particular locations that are mentioned in our Parsha, the Torah emphasizes some of the highlights and special events that took place in a few of these places as well. The Torah recounts the stories of Kriyas Yamsuf, of Meimara, of the death of Aaron HaKohen, and a few other instances along the way. These were just a few of the very important episodes that transpired through the years of the Jewish people traveling through the Midbar. But what is most surprising when you look through the beginning of our Parsha is that although the Torah does make mention of certain historical experiences that we had, the most important and significant one of them all seems to be left out. And that is the experience of Mamid Har Sinai and Kabbalah HaTorah, which are not mentioned or spoken about at all in our Parsha. And this seems to be very strange. Was the giving of the Torah any less important than the death of Aaron HaKohen or the waters of Marah? Why does the Parsha seem to ignore the whole scene of Kabbalah HaTorah if in fact it was the hallmark of the entire Midbar journey and it was the defining event of our people as a whole? And perhaps the idea is that although our Parsha spends time recounting historic and memorable events that happened throughout the 40 years journey in the wilderness, it recounts the episodes and stories of the travels and collective experiences throughout the years of traveling through the Midbar, but Maimon Har Sinai and Kabbalah HaTorah was not merely an episode or experience that we read about in the pages of Chumash. Kabbalah HaTorah is meant to be a living reality and an ongoing commitment on our part. Perhaps it is not recorded along with the other historic events of our past, because in no way is Kabbalah HaTorah considered an event of the past. It is rather meant to be a manual and the doctrine of our lives in the present. The Pasuk says in Parshas Devarim, in next week's Parsha, Be'ever HaYarden Be'eretz Moav, Hoil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah HaZos Lemar, loosely translated to mean, Moshe Rabbeinu spent his last living day on this earth teaching, transcribing, and explaining the Torah in 70 different languages. So imagine God himself appeared to you one day and shared the unfortunate and devastating news that you only had one more day to live. I suppose that day would be spent being involved in as many mitzvahs as possible, giving away plenty of tzedakah, or perhaps reciting as many chapters of Tehillim and doing tshuva with the utmost of sincerity. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do on his last day on this earth? How did he choose to spend his last living moments that he is so blessed to have? And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu spent his time translating the Torah into 70 languages, even though the Jewish people at that time all spoke Hebrew and completely understood the original version of the Torah the way it was given to them. So why did Moshe find it so important to spend his last moments on this earth teaching the Torah in all the various languages, if everyone already understood the words of the Torah in their original format? Perhaps this can be understood that Moshe looked into the future and saw a history of a long and difficult galus. He knew that the Jewish people would be sent from one country to the next, and that they would mingle with many different nationalities throughout the generations. And each one of the many destinations would provide its own ideals and its own set of ethical standards and morals, many of which would stand in stark contrast to the lofty ideals of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu needed to spend his last living day emphasizing this very point, that no matter where the Jewish people might find themselves throughout the years, regardless of the pressures we might have from outside influences in all our different countries, the Torah is meant to guide us throughout all generations and through all times. The Torah is not limited to specific communities that speak Lashon HaKodesh. It is not confined to any particular time, place, or community. And it is not only for those who experience the physical sight of Maimed Har Sinai in the Midbar. This is why Kabbalah HaTorah is not mentioned among the list of historic events in our Parsha. Because Kabbalah HaTorah is not merely a piece of history. It is so much more significant than that. The Yerushalmi tells us in Brachos, HaKoveya Itim LaTorah, Mefer Toraso. One who sets aside a particular time for his learning is considered a destroyer of the Torah. And the Ksav Sofer asks in his Sefer on Chumash, what could this Yerushalmi possibly mean? How many righteous Jews are there in the world that set aside a specific time to learn every day? How many people make sure to learn and develop themselves each and every day of their lives? Yes, nowadays we have become used to the idea of the daily Daf Yomi Shiurim, and we take it for granted that people set aside time to learn seriously each day. But up until recently, this was not so popular. The average layman did not spend an hour learning Torah every day of the week. So how can the Yerushalmi speak down upon the person who's koveya itim to learn and call him a destroyer of the Torah? Shouldn't such a person be the most highly regarded individual in the Jewish community? The Ksav Sofer suggests that this Gemara refers to a person who does not work and has many hours free in the day to learn, but limits his time of learning to a particular hour of the day, thinking that that will suffice for him. But if in fact, says the Ksav Sofer, a person has more time during the day to study, it is not good enough for them to study just a little bit and be satisfied with that small amount. One must make sure to maximize the precious minutes of every day and learn as much as possible, regardless of the hours that his friends around him might be investing in their personal times of learning. That is what the Ksav Sofer suggests in explaining this Yerushalmi. But perhaps there's a slightly different understanding to this statement of the Yerushalmi as well. HaKoveya Itim LaTorah. Somebody who believes that the Torah is topical, that it is confined to a particular time, to a singular generation, or that it only speaks to a selective lifestyle, this person is considered a destroyer and eradicator of the Torah, because the scope and purview of the Torah is unlimited. It has no boundaries and no restrictions. It is meant to transcend and eclipse all physical obstacles and barriers, and it must be a living and operative reality for us, regardless of the society or civilization that we might find ourselves in. It should come as no surprise to us that all of the Yamim Tovim throughout the year have very specific calendar dates on which we are supposed to observe them. Pesach is on the 15th day of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of Tishrei, Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei, Sukkot on the 15th of Tishrei, but the one Yom Tov which stands alone and does not have a prescribed calendar date is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Gemara, when it talks about Shavuos, is not sure whether we are meant to observe it on the fifth day or the sixth day of Sivan. And the Mefarshim have a difficult time understanding this. What day are we supposed to commemorate the acceptance of the Torah? How could it be that we are not given a specific date for this most important commemoration of Maimed Har Sinai and Kabbalah HaTorah? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter suggests that this is to emphasize the very same idea that we have been speaking about this morning. Yes, we set aside a time to commemorate this event, which changed the Jewish people forever. Yes, we celebrate and give praise for this most incredible gift that we have received. But the actual date on which it took place is completely irrelevant and insignificant for us. Because that which we are celebrating on the Yom Tov of Shavuos is not tied down to any calendar date or to any season of the year. We celebrate the opportunity that we have to live lives as Torah Jews. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us this great gift that we feel connected to each and every day of our lives. The Gemara in Sota tells us that no one knew where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Some Darshanim explain this to mean that the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu have never died. Even after the physical passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, it remained as if he was still with them, because the influence that he had on our people is one which is everlasting in nature. His teachings are ones that have guided us and will continue to lead us throughout all of the millennia and all of our communities. We live Kabbalah HaTorah each and every day, and we are privileged to have the Torah's direction in everything that we do in our lives. In our Parsha, we read about all the travels and stops throughout the wandering in the desert 40 years. May we soon experience the final destination of the Jewish people and once again rejoice together in our peaceful homeland. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, in Arzenu HaKdosha, with the Bias Gaol Tzedek, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amen. I wish everyone a most enjoyable Shabbos.